going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mazer Fitness Relation Hour. And today, we are talking all about powerlifting with the one and only Silent Mike. Mike,
what's happening, man?
You are someone I've been looking up to for like 3 years right now. Ever since I started powerlifting, you were my go-to man to learn from and just put my game in the gym. So thank you so much for coming on. For those of
you
that don't know Mike, well, Mike is a powerlifter and has been that for his entire life, right?
Yeah, long time. Long ass time.
So Mike is also a coach, mostly for powerlifting.
Yeah, I started kind of more in the sports world. You know, you and I were talking off air a little bit about you playing soccer. Mm-hmm. I kind of started in that world a little bit more.
Awesome.
With a lot of basketball, a little bit of rugby, and training kids like that.
Awesome.
And then, but yeah, nowadays mostly powerlifting.
Great, great. So he's also a content creator, and like I said, I have been watching his content for a very, very long time. And if you are thinking about getting into powerlifting, this man is your go-to man to learn everything. I mean, just go watch his content. I don't know how many videos you have out there at this moment. Probably
yeah,
like 1,000 or something.
Yeah, a lot. I've been on YouTube for like 5 years.
Awesome.
And then I've had my own channel for about 2. So yeah, probably a lot of videos up there with my fat face on it.
So you're one of the OG YouTubers.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. So like I said, I didn't really start my channel until about 2 years ago. I was on Super Training's channel forever, Barbell Gates channel a long time, Omar Esau's channel for a very long time.
Awesome.
I've been in the mix. Been in the mix.
So if any of you guys want to learn about powerlifting, just click the link down here below, especially his YouTube channel, and just watch every single thing this man has to offer. I'll guarantee you'll be an expert about powerlifting if you have watched every single videos. I guarantee it to you. So Mike, tell me a little bit about yourself. What keeps you busy?
Yeah, man. I'm getting flooded with emails and texts and horseshit and probably half the day is probably sifting through mess, figuring out what I'm gonna do. Half the emails I get are literally just dog shit that I have to ignore, and then the other half are cool people like you that are trying to hustle, trying to do content. So then it's figure out kind of the upcoming weeks. And right now it kind of happened, but 3 days a week or so I kind of call my business days. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I have a lot of emails. I try to set up all my calls, all my podcasts, and kind of get the dirty work done. And then weekends, Tuesday, Thursdays, I try to treat myself a little bit. And then along with that is when I actually film and try to create my content.
Awesome. It's like awesome life to be honest.
It is, man. I can't complain. Everything is a lot of fun. I got some good friends, a girlfriend, and right now it's just hustle and work.
Great. So in the intro for this podcast, I said we were going to be talking all about powerlifting. For the people that are watching and just don't know what powerlifting is, can you explain the sport of powerlifting briefly?
Yeah. Yeah, the sport of powerlifting, we do squat, bench, and deadlift, and the sport is literally just trying to demonstrate your strength in a one rep max on those three lifts on a certain day under certain restrictions. So you squat, bench, dead. On the game day, you get 3 attempts at each one to do your best.
Mm-hmm.
You throw that number together of the best squat, the best bench, and the best deadlift of that day, and we call that your total, and that's kind of your score. It's a very cool sport. It's a very basic sport. It's very, very, very basic in idea, but very complex in execution.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I like about it.
It's like you either lift it or you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So in that sense, it's so simple. But then to increase your deadlift from 300 kilos to 320 kilos, a lot goes into that. And that's kind of why I really dug into it.
Awesome, man. So that's like 3 years of training right there, 300 to like 320.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, it depends on the person.
Yeah, it definitely does.
But yeah, it could be 5 years. You know, I benched 150 kilos for about 3 years straight. I just couldn't get over that. And you're just troubleshooting, trying to figure things out. So sometimes it takes a long time to reach some progress.
So That is the beauty of the sport, in my opinion, and I think that's yours as well.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I've been watching a lot of content of you, like, I don't know how long, but you always refer to yourself as like a living testing dummy, and that's what I love about you. You do care about the science behind it, but you just try shit out, and that is what I admire about you. You're not gonna think about it for like, I don't know, 3 months. Should I do this? Should I do that? No, you're just executing for 3 months and just doing it. So that's what I love about you, man.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, I think I definitely don't just try anything, but once I do, I think you have to try it. Otherwise, I can't coach it. I can't prescribe it, and I don't understand how it feels. I think something I'm pretty proud of, and I think a lot of coaches can't say this, which is a little weird, is I've never written or prescribed a workout or program that I haven't gone through. You know, if I just tell you to go do 10 sets of 10 with 200 kilos on a deadlift, and I've never done that, I don't know what you're going to feel mentally, physically. I don't know what it's going to result in. It just doesn't make sense from a coaching aspect.
Definitely. So I've actually been doing that as well ever since I started this coaching business, and I was like prescribing like front squats and things, which I never done. So I was like, okay, I'm going to prescribe this, but before this dude ever tries his first workout, I just got to do that movement. And that has been messing up my training for a little, but I just don't even care. I just want to know what I'm prescribing. So that's what you preach, the name of the game.
Exactly. And like you said, maybe you have to sacrifice your own progress a little bit for your coaching knowledge or for your coaching experience or for the general good of that. But that's kind of why it's to be the best athlete you can and the best coach at the same time.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So do you actually think that powerlifting is for everyone, or is there a specific breed of people that tend to get more into the powerlifting side of things?
Yeah, I think there's a general thought, you know, the general people think that it's for like a tough guy with tattoos and steroids and all this. And I think powerlifting is actually amazing because it is for everyone. Anyone can get a little bit stronger. Anyone can do these three lifts. There is a technique to it. It's nothing crazy. Everybody can kind of squat, bench, deadlift. It's human movement. And then you can get better at it. Are you going to break world records? Are you going to get super jacked? Maybe not. That's definitely a genetic thing and an age thing. But I think, you know, from 12 years old all the way up to 60, 70 years old, you can powerlift, make some progress, both mentally and physically.
Definitely. So, yeah. People ask me, why are you lifting this heavy? This can be good for you. And I'm like, it can be good for you if you don't do the movements properly. So I tend to get mad at that, but I don't want to do it over here. Just tell me a little bit more about the movements and how safe are the movements. We all know they are safe, but
I think
some people that just tend to screw it up and just injure the lower back or just go ahead.
Yeah, deadlifts are probably the number one people talk about being so bad for your back.
Yeah.
But I think what's worse for your back is sitting on the couch with shit posture all day and being overweight. That's just definitely not good either. I don't think anybody can argue that. Yes, there is risk when using free weights, but there's also risk from being unhealthy. There's risk from walking across the street and getting hit by a car. There's risk from doing anything, you may die. It's just how life works. So I think if you have good coaching, although not always affordable or always accessible, coaching always helps. And then number two is you just have to understand to kind of take a step back. Lifting heavy is relative. You don't have to lift your maximum every single day. If you lift a good amount of weight and cause some stimulus, you can still progress in the lift. And treating the lift like a technique, like a skill, is number one. You know, when you first learn to drive a car, you're not hopping in a race car and going, you know, as fast as you can. You're hopping in a regular car and you're going slow, probably on the back road or a parking lot or something to kind of learn it. That's got to be the same thing. You just have to take your time, learn the movements, and then you can kind of start to push the loads a little bit.
So, you are a fan of sub-maximal training, right?
Yep.
So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, in a nutshell, it's kind of just what I said, but I think too many people train too heavy too often. One, it can leave you fatigued. Two, you can't get that much work done. If you're training near your one rep max all the time, you can't do that many sets and reps. which one doesn't mean you can do that much volume, and volume is kind of the main precursor of building strength and muscle. And then two, chances are your lifting technique is worse. If you get to train more in the kind of the 50 to 75% of your one rep max, that's where I do the majority of my training and coaching. You can build that good amount of volume, which builds muscle and strength. It also builds better technique over time. And then the neurological adaptation, allowing you to become more powerful over time. You can just really fire into that bar hard. And you can train more often. If you can only train your one rep max or really, really heavy so often. But if you're training 60, 70%, you can do it 2, 3, 4 times a week. And then get more practice at skill.
Sure, sure. So most people know about the muscular adaptation side of things from powerlifting. Like, we all see these big powerlifters like yourself just being huge as fuck. But tell me a little bit more about those neurological adaptations you were talking about, because I think most people tend to overlook this.
Yeah, I think there's I'm not super smart. You told me you just had Eric Helms on. He's way smarter than me. But
yeah,
there's kind of like three ways to get strong, really. Building a bigger muscle is one, like you were talking about. If you have a bigger muscle, it has the potential to be a stronger muscle. The other one is like kind of, neurological pathway. So the more you do something, the more force you put in the bar over time, compensatory acceleration training, the more muscle fibers you'll be able to fire, like per square inch or whatever. So you'll be able to move faster and be more powerful. And then the last one is just technical efficiency. Like everything else, basketball, soccer, golf, the more you do something, the better you become at it. And the better you become at it, the easier it gets. If your bench press stroke is really smooth, you'll be able to handle more weight because that form is broken in. So there's that technical aspect. There's the neurological of just becoming more powerful. Literally, that's kind of like being stronger and then building muscle, which potentially allows you to have more muscle fibers to fire to become more powerful again.
Damn. That is some deep shit, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what matters is to try to set up your training to do all three.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're doing sets of 20 on squat, you're not using the other, the technical proficiency and then the neurological adaptation. You're just kind of building muscle. And if you're doing sets of one all the time, you're probably not building muscle. You're probably just kind of working the strength and the neurological adaptation and maybe the technical. So again, going to submaximal, it allows you to kind of train all three of those at the same time and hopefully make the most progress you can.
So in that case, would you recommend someone doing like one day of 5 reps, one day of 10 to 12, and one day of 15 plus reps?
Yeah, something that's gotten super popular is kind of daily undulating periodization because it's proven. Eric Helms probably talked a little bit on it. Mike Sordos, all these guys are really into it. And there's multiple reasons to do training style like that. And depending on your goals, but if we're talking pure powerlifting, I'd probably do something like a day of 2 to 5 reps, kind of built working on strength. A day of maybe even 2 to 5 reps working on power, so even lighter. It's like a practice day. And then a day that's probably, maybe 8 to 10 reps. Typically with a barbell movement, I don't suggest going much over 10, 12 reps. Just you start to getting to 15 with a squat bench dead. Maybe a squat or a bench here and there. But it's just start to get out there. You can, and it's good conditioning, and it's good. But you can get a similar effect from kind of training tens.
So I had a question in my mind, but I forgot it.
No worries.
Let me just think about it.
Yeah, hit me.
Yeah. If someone gets into powerlifting, they are probably lifting weights for a longer time, like half a year maybe. A year even. I don't know that many people who just got into lifting and just started powerlifting straight away.
That's true.
That's the main course people take. So how often do you recommend someone to train all of the big free movements every week?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, a lot of people get in it and they just, when people think lifting or fitness, they think bodybuilding. It just tends to be a little more popular.
Yeah.
what they think, like, I guess sports specific or whatever you want to call it. So
yeah.
A lot of times people come to me and they're training 6 or 7 days a week. And then when you go to powerlifting, you might tone that back to 3, 4, 5 days a week because you're handling more loads. But we focus on the lift themselves. So as you mentioned, you know, squat typically anywhere 2 to 4 days a week is good, kind of depending on age, experience, strength, proficiency in the lift. Bench, something similar, 2 to 4 days a week often works best. And then deadlift is a little bit less. It tends to be more taxing, and we'll do maybe 1 to 2 times a week. It's kind of that sweet spot.
Yeah, because the deadlift is, like, so taxing on your on your CNS.
Yeah, yeah. You're using a lot of muscle, basically every muscle in your body, and the loads tend to be a little bit higher. It's coming from a dead stop, so it just tends to drain us a little more.
Mm-hmm. So let's get a little more into the starting side of powerlifting. How would you recommend someone to get into powerlifting? Is that by just hopping on the free movements all at the same time? Or would you say start with the bench, then move on to bench and deadlift, and after like 3, maybe 4 months, just take them all free? What would you recommend?
Yeah, I think they're basic enough. You could probably hop in all three. There's a lot of good programs out there. Starting strength, a lot of free grid programs that kind of take you through a simple progression, simple programming that allow you to build strength and get better at the movements. As long as you have it in your head a little bit going in that I have to get better at these movements, they are technique, they are a skill, then I think you'll be fine kind of doing all three. Plus, in the beginning, you're probably stronger than you can show, which means that it's easier to train more.
Yeah.
You know, your body may be capable of a 100-kilo squat, but you're not ready for it, so you're using, you know, 50 kilos or something like that, which means you can kind of train more and handle more volume, which is actually good because then you can get better at that skill. So checking out something starting strength, even Wendler's 5-3-1 is a very popular program. Something basic, super simple, but just like you said, you know, watching content online, finding people that are smart or experienced in your area, trying to learn from them, and just watching it in practice.
Yeah, 100% watching content is the name of the game. Check out this man. Just do it. This man right here.
Yeah, you just got to learn. You know, I did the same thing in your seat. You know, when I was 18, 19 years old, I was just hunting the internet down, reading and watching every single thing I could. And yeah, there's some bad info out there, but over your studies, you'll realize, like, man, these guys all agree on the same thing. It's only this guy that says something different. I'm going to go with these guys, you know, and, oh, these guys coach all these guys. Okay, so now I have a group like this, and they're all making progress. They all look good. They're all strong. And they're not doing anything weird. They're just trying to teach. All right, I'm going to try to listen to them. You start to apply things, and you make progress yourself.
And something I would recommend people to watch or listen or whatever you want to call it is the podcast by the guys over at 3DMJ. Just awesome content. And
they're super, super informative.
Yeah, they are like completely evidence-based. Eric Helms is a researcher, exercise researcher.
Yeah.
I don't know about the other guys. I don't think they are researchers, but they are.
They're not. Yeah. They're not on the level of Eric in terms of the studious side. But they're just crazy experienced and crazy smart with everything they do.
Definitely. So definitely check that out. They mostly talk about physique athletes, but there are a couple of podcasts out there just completely on powerlifting. So make sure to check that out. Getting started.
Yeah. They're just some of the first guys Yeah, that's true too. Yes, but 3DMJ were some of the first guys I started watching as well.
Awesome.
Alberto Nunez and Eric Holmes. They've been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
And they're just really good at sharing information.
They have been doing a podcast for like 3 years right now, I think.
Yeah, and I think they're YouTube for maybe 7 or 8. I mean, they've been doing it a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I was last week when I was preparing my podcast for Eric Helms. I was like watching all of his content from like 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, and it was just like such shit quality, but that doesn't even matter because the content is there, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you're not going to be entertained, you're going to learn.
Yeah, and that is Exactly the mindset you gotta apply to yourself when you get into powerlifting. Most of the powerlifters, when they start, I don't wanna say they're douchebags, but they tend to think that they know a lot about it. And
yeah.
If you try to correct someone in the gym doing his movements, he's not gonna let you tell him.
Yeah, I typically don't talk to people, man.
No.
I'll let them come to me if they want some help.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, everyone gets all sad.
So, yeah, it's just get started, practice the movements, and I normally advise people as a coach to just practice the movements for 3, maybe even 4 weeks. Just practice the movement and nail the technique. What's your opinion on this?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really hard because people think powerlifting, they think strength, they think they have to prove themselves, or they, even at more advanced people, they think they have to lift heavy to get strong. And again, heavy is relative. So yeah, doing sets of 30 may not help you as much, but again, handling 60, 70%, you can get a lot of strength in there. And for a beginner,
definitely.
You just have to do it. Don't worry about the weight on the bar. Just worry about how it feels, doing it correctly. And over time, the weight will add up on its own. You will get stronger. There's just no way around it.
Definitely. And something I want to add to that, when you are just starting in the gym, as just personal experience, you tend to care about how people look at you.
Yeah.
And please, if you're new to the gym and you're watching this, please, I'm talking to you, don't think about that. People in the gym are too busy caring about themselves, flexing in the mirror. Just don't think about that. Plug in your earphones and just focus on what you gotta do. You're there to do work and just focus on that.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, if you start to allow the outside world to dictate how you lift, train, look, whatever, you're already heading down a bad road.
Mm-hmm. And I've been talking to pretty much all of the people I had on this podcast about your gym environment. So I just want to cram it in here. What is your opinion on how gym environment can impact your performance in the gym?
Yeah, I'm a little torn on that too. You know, personally, I like to consider myself pretty driven. In a good and bad way. You know, I'm not easily satisfied. I'm not easily happy. I'm just kind of always chasing, which is good and bad, as I mentioned. And
nah,
I think I can find...
it's not bad. It's good. It's just good. It's not bad at all.
Yeah, it could just be hard, you know. It's hard to stop and smell the roses. It's hard to be super excited about performances, etc. But in my case, I can... strongly believe I could progress anywhere. I could be in a garage by myself. I could be in a commercial gym where a bunch of people are in tank tops doing curls. And I could also be in a hardcore situation like super training, barbell brigade, untamed strength, and do well as well there. I think it is more individual, where some people have to be around other driven people and they have to be around other like-minded individuals to get better. And I don't think it ever hurts to be around like-minded individuals, but I also think that certain personalities just don't need it as much.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I know we all have heard the quote, "You are the average of the 5 people you surround yourself the most with." And,
yeah.
Well, the easiest thing to surround yourself with great people is just the internet.
Right. Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. Yeah. Easy access.
It is, and your gym kind of dictates your performance, in my opinion. If you're training at a gym like I do right now, it's just a commercial gym with like no deadlift prep platform. And when I'm doing a 200 to 240 kg deadlift over there, people tend to look at me like, "Yo, dude, what the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah, chill out.
just don't do that. And I'm like, yeah, please let me just do my thing. And it's hard, but it's the only thing we got over here. So just make it happen.
I think you can make do kind of anywhere.
Yeah. As long as you get the weights you need.
Yeah.
In a lot of gyms, they just don't have that much weight.
Yeah,
a lot of commercial gyms.
Yeah, it's true.
So this is just a question directed to you. How, let me just get it straight. We talked about this briefly, but if performed wrongly, the big three could potentially be lethal.
So I don't know if I've ever heard anyone dying from squat, bench, or deadlift.
It was more like he just overtaxed his CNS and his body just gave out.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I've never seen it, never really heard it. I've been to a lot of big meets where people have gotten injured, ripped a pec, ripped a quad, some pretty nasty injuries.
They are just minor injuries, in my opinion. I mean, it's not like you're breaking your spine or something.
Yeah, I've never really seen anything too crazy. Some people have gotten pretty hurt in gear lifting where a heavy barbell's hit them in the head, maybe. I don't know about lethal. It can get nasty.
Yeah. So how do we convince people who want to get into powerlifting but just don't do it because they think it's bad for them that these movements are absolutely safe?
Yeah, I think it's just, again, going back to technique. And I know that sounds like we're just saying the same thing over and over. But as long as you focus on your technique, they're the best way to overload your system, to build muscle, to build strength, and to help postural stuff. You know, the majority of regular people maybe don't care about their bicep size or how much they could deadlift, but they want to feel better and they want to be able to move better throughout their normal life. And doing a full range squat, doing a deadlift to strengthen your back, that's only going to help in the long run. As we get older, we're going to get bad habits with posture. We're going to get bad habits with muscular imbalance. And these are just a quick way to undo all that.
Awesome. Yeah, you're just taking the words out of my mouth at this moment.
Awesome. I agree.
Yeah, we definitely do in this point. As an online coach, because you are an online coach, right?
Yeah, I do a little bit of coaching online.
Do you teach the movements online, or do you just take on online clients that know how to do the movements?
Yeah, I think a little bit of mix of both, but typically the clients that are reaching out to me online already have the movements done a little bit.
Because I know you've been working with Matty Fazzaro for a long time right now.
Yeah. I helped Matty out for a good while. And again, he already had a decent grasp on the movements. And then what they'll do is they'll just email me videos and I'll critique their form, but it's typically just smaller tweaks. I've had a couple people that are a little more new, and then it's just a matter of kind of scaling back on the weight, doing some doubles, singles, things that they can really just practice the form over and over.
So are you a fan of high rep deadlifts?
Eight
to 10.
I think they definitely have a place. They're very difficult, both physically and mentally. And then it depends on the athlete again. But if you're pretty good at the movement, if you're technically pretty sound, and you're far away from a meet, I think banging out some sets of 8, sets of 10 on deadlift, block pulls, pause deadlift, different variations can help a lot to build muscle and then also help a lot to just reinforce that motor pattern. If you're new and your technique's not so great, doing a set of 10 might be a little rough because 5 of those reps are probably going to be pretty crappy. But if you're pretty good at the movement, I'm into it.
Yeah, and something I have been doing for a long time is I always used to train with my lifting partner, but we just grew a little apart at this moment. He's studying, I'm studying. We don't have time to train at the same time, so that's a little crappy at this moment, but I always told him, as soon as my form starts to break, just shout at me, yo, dude, stop this. So if you are in the position to train with a partner, just do that, right?
Yeah. I think it's always good to either film yourself or have a buddy you trust have some eyes on you. Because it's hard to understand your body positioning under heavy loads. So having someone you trust, or someone knowledgeable as a coach or training partner, and then using your cell phone to videotape yourself always helps.
Yeah, and that is going back to just not giving a fuck about what people think about you in the gym, right?
Yeah, sadly, just, you got to just keep pushing.
That is something I've been talking about a lot lately. I've been filming myself in the gym either to create content or just to check my routine. And mostly it's checking my routine. But every single time I do this, I get asked, yo, dude, it's not all for the gram, right? So, yeah, just don't care about what people think.
Yeah, it's for the gram. And so what if it's for the gram? Who cares? What's wrong with that?
It's, if that is their opinion, I always say, like, I'm sorry I'm providing you a free value. That's, that's literally my answer.
Yeah, doesn't have to be your gig, buddy, but we're going to do what we want to do.
Yeah, just getting my hustle on, right?
Tell them.
I want to dive a little deeper into the matter of powerlifting.
Yeah.
How important is programming for the powerlifts?
Yeah, I think, you know, having a plan in anything you do in life has to be there. And powerlifting is cool because it's literally just a broken down version of life. You have to decide what you want and be pretty specific about it, and then just find the quickest way there, and that's programming. So if you want to increase your bench, squat, and deadlift, and you have a meet on June 30th, then you just have to find the best path there to do that goal. And that's the same thing with the job. That's the same thing with your diet. That's the same thing with building a car. It's literally the same thing everywhere. Is you start to define exactly what you want, and then you find a plan there. Programming is just that. It's just a plan, sets reps represented in a percentage or something called RPE, rate of perceived exertion, for you to get stronger. That's literally all it is.
Definitely. So I know there are a lot of styles of programming out there. For someone who's just getting started with powerlifting, what kind of programming would you recommend if they... Let's say someone doesn't want to do a meet, but just wants to improve his his deadlift from 120 kg to, let's say, 180. It's a big gap, but it's doable when you start out. What would your preferred style of programming be?
Yeah, basics of all strength training is just called progressive overload, and that means over time, whatever amount of time, you have to either add load, adding more weight. Add more reps or more sets, so you're adding more total work. And that gets complicated the stronger you get, but in the beginning, it can be very simple. So for someone like that, if they're deadlift every Monday, again, it's over time, but as humans, we just tend to use a week. So if we deadlift every Monday and you do three sets of five at 100 kilos, you can literally just add 5 kilos, 2.5 kilos every single week and continue to do three sets of five. Eventually that will plateau, and you won't be able to add more weight. And then when that comes, you're going to just probably have to do it every other week. So for 2 weeks in a row, you'll do 105 kilos for five sets of five, 105 kilos for three sets of five. And then on the third week, you'll go to 108 kilos for three sets of five, continue on like that. And then it'll just continue to stretch out and get a little more complicated, but then you'll do it every 4 weeks. So you'll do maybe three sets of five at 100 kilos, four sets of five at 100 kilos, five sets of five at 100 kilos, and then you can go for a new maybe PR set of five and progress that way. And then as you get more advanced, you maybe deadlift more times a week. You'll maybe add in exercise variation, so doing something like a stiff leg or a block pull or a pause deadlift. You can add in different rep and set schemes. So instead of three sets of five, you'll do four or five sets of five. Maybe you could do three sets of eight 1 week and then five sets of three the next week, three sets of eight the next week. There's a million ways to do it. Like you said, there's a lot of different programs and a lot of different methods. But basically all they are is different tools to allow you to troubleshoot through your issue. If your issue is you don't have enough muscle, then you'll do more sets of eight. If your issue is you can't lock out, maybe you'll do some exercise variation or lighter load so you can work on your technique.
So if any of you guys just couldn't follow that, just Just rewind it, watch it again, just rewrite it until you have everything written down, because this is some gold right here.
Yeah, that's a lot of general shit kind of thrown into one, but
Yeah, it is, but
that's programming.
it is like a complete general program you just laid out here. So if you want to follow that program written by Silent Mike, just
Yeah, send us $300 and rewind
we'll split the difference.
that thing. Fair.
I know nutrition is big in sports, and especially in the bodybuilding part of things, because you just need your nutrition when you are caring about your physique. So, how important is it to powerlifters?
Yeah, I think it's important no matter what. And then once again, we have to define those goals. So if your goal is just pure powerlifting, and you don't really care about gaining weight or general health even,
You just need a shit ton of calories.
yeah, I mean really, food is your number one tool for recovery. And the better you recover, the more work you can handle, the more gains you can make. So in that sense, yeah, just a lot of calories, a lot of food. Obviously, there's other things involved. For me and you, maybe there's marketing and our job, so we have to look a certain way. Whether that's right or wrong, that's just the nature of the business. I can't make the same amount of content or reach the same amount of people if I weigh 300 pounds. So I have to worry about my nutrition personally. And a lot of other guests you probably had on, I follow kind of generally flexible dieting.
I know Eric Helms is very big on that. He was just rattling on for like 15 minutes about flexible dieting. I just couldn't interrupt him. He was just ranting, ranting, ranting about how people view nutrition and how people's relationship with food is just fucking them up.
Yeah,
And
it
sorry
is.
for my language, but
Yeah.
it just is.
Yeah, it is. People just don't have a basic understanding of it. And once you have a basic understanding of it, you can start to change kind of your relationship with it, and how you use it or potentially abuse it, I guess.
Yeah, I always tend to, literally yesterday I made a post about this on Instagram, and it says like, I started like, so getting fit is all about replacing your favorite meal with chicken and rice, right? That was literally the starting sentence of the post. And I was just ranting and ranting about flexible dieting and how you should take advantage of your calories, because a calorie is a calorie. Your body doesn't care. And now we all know we need a certain amount of protein, fat, and carbs, but I tend to just not care about my amounts of fats and carbs. As long as I keep my fats low and my carbs higher than my fats, a lot higher actually, and just how I get them in, just I don't even care about that at this moment. Maybe you could argue that I should look a little closer after my nutrition, but at this moment I just have so many things going on. This podcast, starting a business, cramming a book in a day, Tai Lopez
That's a lot.
2.0 over here. Yeah, audiobook, right? Just listening to it all day long. Just a habit of mine. I don't know how I ever got into it, but yeah.
Yeah, gotta learn.
Yeah, you definitely got it. And if you don't want to go to school, you got to do something.
Yeah, true that.
Flexible dieting it is for powerlifters.
I think, if you have a weight class in mind, if you have health in mind, yeah, I mean, having a general idea of how much calories you're taking in. Again, we do have to kind of worry about our micronutrients, getting vitamins, minerals to stay generally healthy. Our fiber is also important. And then general conditioning to make sure our heart's still alive and strong.
Not eating too many saturated fats.
Yeah, you can overdo anything. You can overdo water and die. I think you can overdo processed food and die. But having a little bit of junk food in your day won't kill you, as long as you kind of have these other aspects controlled. And again, if health's not an issue and neither is a weight class, then all the food you can handle is probably going to help you be the strongest.
Definitely, and as a powerlifter, that is your main priority. But in my opinion, I tend to over prioritize health for weight in powerlifting. It's just how do I put this? It's just a preference of mine, and I preach this to every single client I get on. It's like just to give you a little bit of context, I coach people in the beginning of their fitness journey, and I don't even write a training like program. I just give them a routine and just say, do this for 4, 8, 12, 16 weeks. And just we'll just slowly work on your nutrition. And after you get your nutrition in place, we can care about your training. But just overload the muscles. I tend to not even write a training program.
Yeah, I mean, for a beginner, they just got to move. Yeah, they got to build the habit of moving.
It is. We've been talking a lot about powerlifting.
Yeah.
What do you think of dual athletes, physique and powerlifting?
Yeah, I think, going back to 3DMJ and a lot of these other people, I think it's a lot more, not only common, but they're a lot more alike than people want to say. Mm-hmm. And bodybuilding, you have to build hypertrophy. The best way to build hypertrophy is volume and strength.
It's to lift heavy shit.
Yeah, so they in terms of training, they're very similar, besides the fact that a bodybuilder may have a larger toolbox of exercises.
Something to think about is your lower back when you're bodybuilding, because when you're powerlifting, the only back exercise you do is, just a deadlift.
Yeah,
and
depending on your training style. Yeah,
that's true. If you tend to do a lot of accessory work for your back, you slowly get into the bodybuilding side of things.
Right.
But I've been talking a lot this podcast. I got you on to talk, man.
Man, my bad. We're just chatting it up.
Yeah, that's good.
There's every power lifter at some point needs to add exercise variation of some nature, chin up, row, etc. And every good bodybuilding program has some kind of power lift in it, whether it's the back squat, deadlift variation, some kind of bench variation, whether it may be dumbbells, etc. So besides the actual dieting aspect of getting on stage, oiling up, posing, I think they're very, very similar and you can kind of do both. I'm a big fan of doing both. I think it's good mentally to kind of do both. You don't get so sucked into being lean all the time, and you also don't get sucked into being fat and strong all the time. And finding balance in the whole thing, and there's a little bit of balance just naturally between those two.
Yeah, and I've been doing them together for like 2.5 years. And like I said, your lower back just tends to get a little more of a beating when you do that.
Yeah.
And you should definitely keep that in mind when you're writing your own program, if you're doing that. And if you're having a coach, just make sure he thinks about that. Because I've been overlooking that for like 1.5 years. And then I started to get lower back block problems. Just playing soccer, I was like, damn, my lower back hurts. Did someone kick me in the back or something? But as I started to think more and more, it was like, yeah, I just picked up powerlifting, did that for a year, might maybe not have had the best program out there.
Just
exercise selection.
It's hard to get really, really strong if you're playing another sport. You know, powerlifting kind of is a sport in its own. It's very taxing, and how you may build your strength for soccer may be different than how you build your strength for powerlifting.
Yeah, but I actually, to be honest, I didn't even care about building strength for soccer. I just wanted to get bigger in order to how do I say this? To be more of a force to be reckoned with on the pitch.
Yeah.
And I tried to gain a little bit of leg muscle to get faster in the sprints, but I just ended up being slower because it was like 20 kgs heavier.
Yeah, it just got bigger.
Yeah, it is. And you just got to prioritize things. If you like lifting more than playing that sport you do, you might actually think about just quitting that sport at all, because you like lifting. And what's holding you back to lift? If you like being a team player, be a team player. If you like lifting on your own, go lift on your own. It's just what you want to do, man.
Yeah, very true.
So, we all know about all of this lifting equipment, and I know you use a lot of that shit.
Yeah.
And I'm actually not a big fan of it because I just coach starters, beginners in fitness. And when I, this has happened to me like 3 times in the last month. People tend to say like, yeah, I'm going to get started. What do I need to buy? And I'm like, some flat shoes.
Yeah.
And a gym membership. You don't need more. And they're like, but what about lifting gloves, a chalk, a lifting belt, squat shoes? And I'm like, you don't need any of that. But you, my friend, are a like very, very advanced powerlifter. And I just wanted to ask you about your opinion on all of that lifting gear.
Yeah, I'm a similar mindset. You know, when you're just starting out, you need some kind of sturdy, kind of thin, flat shoe. And you need some weights. And that's really
You might even start out on your barefoot.
Yeah, I think besides the obvious danger of smashing your foot, barefoot is absolutely fine.
I don't see how you would do that.
Buddy, I've crushed my toe. I have a broken toe from the weight room. Deadlifts.
Sumo deadlifts.
Sumo deadlifts happen all the time. But even just loading plates fall. shit happens. If you do it long enough, bad things happen. Belts, knee sleeves, wrist wraps, all those are tools. They're allowed in powerlifting, and they can help you stay a little healthier. So as you get into it, you know, same thing with to play soccer or football. Do you need really good cleats? No, but the better you get, the better you want your equipment to be to keep up with what you're doing. You could play soccer in flat shoes, but when you try to turn and someone else has cleats, they're going to do a little bit better. And it's a little bit just like that in powerlifting, where you don't need a belt, you don't need knee sleeves, but as you start to advance, if you have a belt, you may do a little bit better. It may allow you to handle a little more weight, embrace your midline a little bit better. So I know people have varying opinions. Do what works for you. If you want to get competitive, you're probably going to use some assistance here and there. Yeah. They're good tools, but they're not necessary by any means.
Mm-hmm. So, lifting gear, not necessary in the beginning.
Yeah, I don't think so.
When you get a little more advanced, you might consider it.
Yeah.
When you're as advanced as you are, you might actually need it.
I don't know about need, but it definitely allows you to lift the most amount of weight.
Yeah, and that's what the sport is all about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I want to ask you one more question about combining sports, because we've been talking about soccer, lifting, powerlifting. But we haven't actually been talking about it or just discussing it in general. We've been talking around it, but what do you think about powerlifting next to playing something like soccer or football or what can we say, hockey maybe even?
Yeah, I think to be the best at both, you're going to probably have to be specific. It's going to be really, really hard. Powerlifting leaves you pretty beat up. I'm pretty sore. And when you're sore and beat up, you can't move fast. And you need to move fast in most team sports. There are ways to build strength and to incorporate powerlifting to become better at those other sports. But if your goal is to be really good at both, it's going to be really, really difficult.
Awesome. Last question, Mike. Where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, man. Use Instagram and YouTube probably the most, a little bit of Twitter, Silent Mike with 2 K's on Instagram and Twitter. And then if you just search out Silent Mike on YouTube, my channel should pop up.
Awesome. So if any of you guys want to learn about powerlifting, I'm not your go-to man. This man right here on your right is. So make sure
to check him out.
Channels, social media, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You don't use Facebook, right?
A little bit. I have a Facebook. It's Silent Mike, and I use it here and there, but not as much.
Okay. So mainly YouTube and Instagram and Twitter.
That's where I'm at.
Those channels will be down in the description box. Make sure to leave this podcast a like, subscribe if you haven't, and Mike, I just want to give you a huge thanks for coming on to this small little podcast.
No problem. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And this was it for this week's episode. Hope you enjoyed it, and we are out.